You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
Now I'm talking. I was talking that whole time. I was doing quality radio over here, and I was just an idiot talking in a closet because you refused to push that button. You know how you could tell they were done? Nobody was talking anymore. That's the tip-off
in radio.
But I
didn't hear the Kenny Klein. Anyone?
He said in the back.
I didn't hear it.
Well, that's your problem because he definitely said it. Kenny will not let everybody go without saying, anything else for Coach? Anything else for Darius? That's how he works.
I missed the Kenny. Dang it. Yeah. I thought someone was saying a very low, long
nope,
question.
That was him. And then they were moving, and now Chris Mack will be next up to the podium to the song stylings of Chris Mack. If Chris Mack were a singer, what would his genre be? He would either be a country singer or he could be a pop singer. I could see him being a pop singer. Yeah, I could see him being like a Michael Bublé type. That just charming the people with his dazzling vocal skills and his gigantic hands. He's got gigantic hands.
What? His gigantic hands?
Yes. You just grab that microphone, just dwarf it. And put that mixtape! Mixtape!
Patty Ice was spouting off about 50 different musical stylings.
He was?
Down the line, yeah, but I can't say any of them.
Why not? What would they be?
Don't worry about it.
I want to know what they'd be. Ska? Could he do ska, you think? Reggae?
I can see him as a ska, but that only if he could wear a fedora.
I don't know. I'm getting a hat, by the way. Pretty excited. I've never worn a hat.
Never worn a hat before?
No, very rarely. Extremely rare. Like if it's minus 20, I wear like a toque. I make them, but I generally don't wear them. They're gifts.
Big
but I'm getting what a newsboy cap. You know, like the Ben Hogan cap.
Oh, the newsie?
Cap. Yeah.
The newsie cap?
Yeah.
Like the Peaky Blinders? You can put razor blades on
I am, and
room?
I'm going to just kill people around the station. That's why I'm wearing it. You nailed it. That's exactly it. So like if Patty Ice walks in again with a guest for another show, I'm just coming on the other side, just taking the hat out and just slashing away. There'll be blood spouting everywhere as we come back from break. That will be quality.
You should point out that you're being facetious. He's also down the line, so he can hear all
I know.
This.
That's why we're doing it for you, because he's entertained. We like to entertain Patty Ice. We are nothing if not. He said something back, because I could tell he just left.
he said
a potty
he
word.
He said, yes, I can hear you. You're the worst, he said.
I'm not the worst. Yeah, you're the worst. That's a real intelligent guy. That's a sports talk conversation right there. Oh, yeah, you're the worst. Peaky Blinders is back, right? They're making new ones again.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I fell off after like
yeah,
the second
they
season.
Are.
Not because I didn't like the show. I just it was one
They're
of those.
Back. They're making new ones again. There's a whole lot of shaking going on right now because Disney came in and now they took a whole bunch of crap off all the other places and they're scrambling to get their own stuff. And so stuff that I've been watching for years on some outlet are going to be elsewhere. And it's causing me much consternation. To try and figure out where these things are. Why are you wearing glasses today, by the way? You have contact lenses.
I just wanted to give my eyes a rest. And I was having a really hard time seeing. I think my contacts are old or something.
Do you do anything they tell you to do to care for them at all? Any of the things they suggest?
Well, I'm doing it now. I took them out. and I have them in liquid.
Aren't you supposed to do that like somewhat regularly?
Well,
who was president the last time you did that?
Who came after Bush, the first one.
That's about right. So there you go. I'm just vamping because I don't want to get into something because Chris is going to be out and then I'm going to have to interrupt. So I'm just going through. The only thing I will say is that the people who are texting me about Ohio State, you are absolutely right. They apparently are the real deal. So it's going to be intriguing. If you were going to go and take a look at teams that have already proven that they are at least are capable of doing something extraordinary. I think Louisville's on that list, and we'll get into some of the other teams a little bit later. But right now, the country song stylings of Chris High Boots Mac. Here he is.
Chris, after watching the film and so forth, what was your opinion of your offense? Was it Michigan's defense, you think, that led to the poor shooting or something you guys were doing? Or what?
I thought we got the shots that we wanted. You know, I never felt like our team was bogged down and we were not taking care of the ball or we were, you know, shooting rush shots. I mean, I think you're going to have a few of those possessions no matter who you are as a team. But, you know, as I said in earlier games, you know, or after the games, there were times when even though we were scoring a lot of points and the ball was going in that, you know, although I wasn't maybe openly frustrated about our offense, I did internally think we need to get better at offense. So I didn't think offense was our problem against Michigan. Now, maybe scoring points, if you want to equate those two. But I think as long as your team is generating shots and they're playing together and taking care of the ball, then things can work out for you on that end of the floor. And, you know, maybe not in a particular game or a particular half, but over time. And so I thought we were generating really good shots. We ran a lot more set plays. There were probably a lot less possessions in that game. But, you know, that was purposefully.
Defensively, what kind of a challenge is Pitt going to pose? You know, they've got their two guards back from last year, but they've got a lot more depth this year, it seems like.
It starts and ends with those two guys. You know, Johnson and McGowan's are as aggressive and as a downhill of a duo that, you know, we'll play all year. They try to get to the foul line. They have never-ending dribbles. Coach Capel lets some guys go and attack, and that's their whole mindset. And we did not do a good job at Pitt. We did a better job here at home. But both games were a game about toughness. You can tell that's what he wants his program to be known for, and I don't think there are two players that better embody it on his team than those two.
Guys have mentioned the we haven't played anybody angle before the Michigan game. How much do you have to say much to the guys to get them motivated for a game like that, or do they kind of do that themselves?
A game like Michigan?
Yes.
Every game's different. I mean, every game's different. I think, you know, you have to know the temperature of your team, you know, where they're at in the season. And we were ready to play. We got to make sure, more importantly, that we're not worried about the, you know, rearview mirror so much as we're worried about the windshield in front of us.
When you went back and watched that Michigan film, was there anything you didn't see during the game that maybe jumped out as impressive, or what were your second impressions?
I don't want to Belichick you, but I'm really more worried about tomorrow night's game.
Coach, getting back to you saying that you'd like to see your guys play better offensively, is there anything specifically you'd like to see them do well against Pittsburgh tomorrow?
Well, I think when we're out in transition, we're a tough team to deal with. You know, Ryan and Jordan stretched the floor. I think Darius and Freshman made really good decisions. Steve, when he posts deep in the lane, is hard to contend with. Traps and double teams and crowding in the post can't happen as quickly in transition. But in order to do that, we got to get stops. So, you know, your two parts of your game, defense and offense, are really tied together. But I'd like to see us be even more attacking than we've been. And we're going to continue to try to be a team that generates paint touches. And whatever look that results in, we'll live with.
Ryan obviously didn't have his best shooting night the other night, and he's mostly known for that. But defensively, what did you think of what he did against Michigan and what he's done all year?
Well, I was saying in my TV show that was pre-recorded, so I shouldn't really say that, I guess. It's sort of weird how that works. Ryan has become a guy that we're very comfortable with on the floor when his shot isn't falling. You know, he can change a game at any moment in a stretch of two or three possessions. The game can go from 5 to 11 just with two quick touches of the ball by him. But last year, you know, if he wasn't shooting it well, not that he didn't add anything, but he certainly wasn't who he is now. You know, defensively, he's done a remarkable job at keeping the ball in front of him. He's always in his gap. He blocks out. On offense, I think he's created looks for other guys. They run at him. You know, he just gives a little head fake, and next thing you know, he's at the foul line spraying the ball out. Even on the break the other night when he went up to shoot, his man committed, and he threw it down to Jordan. We got a three-point play. You know, Ryan has made plays like that all year. he's made his teammates better. So it's easier for us as coaches to keep him on the floor longer because he's not a detriment in any other area.
To follow up on that a little bit, Chris, he's hadn't had good shooting games his last two. Any, you see anything going on or just a blip in the radar?
I worry about that this much. As long as he takes good ones. As long as he takes good shots. It's got to be clean looks, open looks, but no, there isn't anybody else on the team I want shooting an open three more than Ryan.
Your team has received a lot of acclaim this last week with the number one rating, obviously, and for the way they played against Michigan. Is that something you address with them, or do you let the players just handle it in terms of how you have to move on from it?
I'm hoping that press conferences like this, stuff that goes out on Twitter, just walk the walk and talk the talk. Don't worry about all the other stuff. Concentrate on the opponent, getting better at practice. Don't carry it as a burden. Don't carry it as a entitlement. It means nothing. And as soon as we lose a game, we won't be number one. That's just how it works. Nobody's immune. The only thing that we can control is our effort, our attitude, and our preparation for Pittsburgh. And that's really how I feel. I'm not trying to downplay it. It's great for fans. It's great for recruiting. But other than that, it doesn't really do anything. The whole target on the back stuff, I just think that we need to play hard no matter where we're ranked. And if guys follow that lead, then we'll be fine.
Heck of a defensive performance against Michigan. You were complimentary after the game. What do you do as a coach to try to get the message across to your players that, look, let's try and capture this each night out? Do you sit down with them individually with video, or is it something in practice or a combination?
Sometimes we do. We haven't since the game. It's a quick turnaround for Pittsburgh. We just drill it. We try to become our habits. When you have evidence of the other night, that when you do what you do, you do it consistently, that it could lead to really good things. And if you don't, then you're going to get burnt, you're going to get beat. So we just try to continually spoon feed them those same drills that allow us to have a toughness about us, to keep the ball out of the lane, and to limit second shots. And hopefully the evidence of a win against a really good team and the way that we won the game gives them a purpose behind what they're doing.
Is Malik progressing the way that you hoped he would at this point, coming off the bench and giving you those kind of
minutes? Yeah, I'm not really it's always a little different when a guy's injured. He's coming back from injury. He's coming back from a major surgery. He's been out for a while. I don't think there is a true roadmap. David's different from Malik in the sense that Malik's played for 2 years. Malik's a captain. He probably wants more than he's gotten to this point. But he's for the team. I didn't necessarily have an expectation. I do have a belief in him. I'll put him in at any point where I feel like he's needed. It could be on the defensive end. It could be for a possession here or there. I'm not afraid to go to him. I don't know how long at this point. He can go and give us 100% because he's still getting his wind and his legs back. But, I have all the confidence in Malik. How that plays out in terms of our rotation, minutes, all that stuff, I don't have a great feel for yet.
Chris, can you get a sense for, I guess, how important it is to the fan base, the success you guys have had, the success the football team has had this year, just kind of the whole resurgence of the program compared to where they were in a lot of senses a couple years ago?
Not really. I know that people are excited. What I gained an appreciation for was when I first got here. How many people in this city, around the country, if I'm, in a visiting airport, throw their L's up, say go Cards. And that's really never been any different today than it was when I first got here. And I think that's what makes this place special and the job that I'm at very special.
Do you have much or any contact with Scott? And do you guys compare notes at all?
Oh, Satterfield? No, I don't compare notes. I told you I'm a bad luck charm when it comes to, rooting for football teams. So, the only thing we do is hang out. We don't really talk sports, when those opportunities arise.
I think they're done because Kenny said anything else for Coach, and that usually means we're getting the hell out of here. And then a guy did the after the Kenny comment question, which we've often wondered, is that good etiquette or not? That's got to be a really good question. And that was an okay question. It wasn't great. But so I think he answered it, and then Kenny glared at him. I don't think Kenny glared at him, but I like to make it more entertaining that way. Getting some interesting texts along the way here. We're the show for intelligent takes, Texter says. Then tells a story involving SpongeBob, pianist, and genitalia. It's a subtle form of intelligence, sir. It's a, the subtlety is what makes the show what it is. Granted, I only have one earbud, but I didn't hear Kenny either, says the Texter. I heard him. Oh, I heard him all right.
I didn't. Like, is he speaking at like some wave volume that like?
Kenny's nowhere near the mic. He stands by the door in the front. You know that you.
Yeah, there. I usually hear it.
Well, maybe they're having some trouble with acoustics. I don't know.
Huh?
Perry sounds a lot like Scooter McRae. Okay. Did you see Kenny's face when Griff said we won't if the NCAA won't recognize 2013, we will. Face in hand and shaking his head. Yeah, that's you're treading a thin line there, but. Good for Griff. Patty Ice, hey, listen, Patty, you still listening? Patty Ice booked Vince Tyree for 11:30 and Lamar Jackson for 3:15 and wonders why Bob tells him to get out. Thank you. I wanted to like Peaky Blinders, says another texter, but I just could never understand him. You know what? I can't either. You have to watch it with the subtitles.
1,000%.
You absolutely have to. It's like watching a foreign film. You'll never have any earthly idea what they're saying. Guy just sends a one-word text that says Bollywood. What the hell does that mean? What I know what Bollywood is, but why did he send that to me?
What were we talking about? Movies? Didgeridoos, maybe? No, Bollywood. That's an Australian instrument.
Don't know what that means.
I don't know. What Bollywood?
The worst torture I can imagine would be playing It's a Small World song with the didgeridoo in the background. Poor Disney gets a lot of grief for the It's a Small World song.
I kind of like it.
I do, too. And the beauty of the song, if you want to call it that, was, as many of you know, they wrote a song that was easy to do in like 27 different languages, which is not easy to find the cadence where you can do that. So that's what they did, if you're scoring at home. And that still exists. I think that's still the same one that was at the World's Fair in 1964, obviously spruced up, but I believe it's the same
new puppets.
The same ride. Yeah, I believe it is. I'm going to sneeze here, so let's take a break.
It should be. They should update all the puppets, and the puppets should all just be on their phones. It's just the music played, and you're just going around, and it's people in every walk of life looking at their phone.
I like that. They ignore you.
It's like a really strong artistic piece.
That would be very good.
What the hell is this all about?
Every once in a while, one of them looks up and just gives you a nod and then goes back to their phone. That's all. That's the whole ride. That's all it is. Nobody's talking to each other, nor to you. But then you should
You have to text something really sweet, and then all of the little people start sharing it. They just turn to their little friend. They just move the phone over. And then everyone starts smiling, and then they all turn to look at you and wave.
No, I don't. They still should.
With a little bit, or maybe it's creepy.
Everything was good up to when they looked at you and waved. There can be no eye contact. The challenge of the ride is to there's some guy in a little booth, and he's deciding if the if the text is worthy of it. You have to text the little characters. They give you a number, and if it's funny enough or clever enough, they all show each other on the phone. And then they smile and they go back to what they do. It would never actually acknowledge you. It would require them to make eye contact with you.
So the whole ride is just about you trying to go viral and get likes. Basically, trying to get the puppet's attention.
Kenny Klein speaks in a tone that can only be heard by former coaches and radio hosts. Kind of like a dog whistle. I heard him. What can I tell you? I'm not trying to be snarky, Texter says, but I think it's a good, interesting point. Max says he hangs out with Satterfield. Do you think Patino hung out with any of the other coaches? Kind of solidifies the culture family movement. I don't think Rick did. But I don't think Bobby was a warm. You blame it on Bobby as much as Rick, for starters, if you want to talk about football coaches and basketball coaches. But the other thing is, the kinds of people they are, I'm not doing it as a quality. I'm saying the type of people, not kind. So before anybody wants to start firing texts at me, I'm not besmirching anybody. It's just Chris is much more unpretentious about stuff like that. Most of the coaches, quite honestly, at this university are not the people that were in the financial circle that Rick would consider his close friends. With the exception of the football coach, and I don't think he and Bobby's personalities were such that they were going to be very, sending each other Christmas cards. So, no, I don't think he hung out with wealthy men. That's who he was. That was his social circle. I'm not saying that, you know, Chris is hanging out with, but I'm struck that just the way they conduct their business. I mean, like I've said, you see Chris sending texts from Burger King, for goodness sake. You don't see, I mean, Rick would never be doing that. That's not how he's wired. It was part of just, listen, you got to be who you are. I think Satterfield is the same way. So their personalities, I could see them meshing over a big bowl of chicken wings. Could you see Rick doing that? I couldn't see that. That's just not how he would roll. So doesn't mean, listen, I played golf with Rick. It was a lot of fun. It was funny. He's got a great sense of humor. He's not pretentious in that way. It's just you are who you are. You're attracted to certain types, if you want to call it that, whether you're if you're a single person and you're trying to find a girlfriend, you're attracted to certain types. If you're a adult, your social circle is generally certain types of social circles that you travel in. And I think they're kind of different. I think that's safe to say. So, but I do think it starts with, you know, Vince to a degree. There's a definite, it's absolutely without question, a tangibly different vibe there. There's no getting around that. And I'm not trying to revisit that whole thing about the old regime. That's water under the bridge. As Chris said, you don't want to live in the rearview mirror. You want to live looking out the windshield in front of you. So that's not what it's about. But the fact is, it's really, it takes some getting used to. It was 10, 12 years of dealing with the other type of atmosphere. And this is it's hard to describe. But in this way, there are things, just to be perfectly candid, that are so much more relaxed now. It's just a pleasure to be around. But because of all the crap that went on, they also are much more dot the I and cross the T about things. Like, for example, they're nice enough and always have been, and I hope I've expressed this to them privately. I know I have said it publicly. They're very supportive and generous when it comes to helping when you're doing charitable things. And I've helped some groups do that. And I've done our own with the V Foundation and Kentucky Anna Friends of V. And occasionally one of the things you do is there's an auction and you ask, can you put some tickets in? They're very good about getting tickets for that. We don't do it a lot, but we certainly have done it a few times. I mean, now you've got to provide like a driver's license number and a photo ID, and it's because the tickets are a thing that are easily abused. You want to have some control over who you're letting into your games on your nickel, and that makes sense, but it's very different. So there, that is a lot more stringent, but the atmosphere of being able to just clap a guy on the back and say, how you doing? It's very welcoming. It's very cool, and so it makes the success they're having a lot more just fun. And simply, I know that it's big business when you're in, you know, and it's still true now. But I think that was the bottom line. There were the old regime was always aware that it was big business, and they not only were they aware of it, they were guys that in their hearts, they were big businessmen. That's how they saw themselves. They didn't see themselves as athletic men. They saw themselves as big businessmen. And so their decisions were often centered around the business side, to the point where the sports side, the fan experience side, was sometimes, I think, cast to the side. And I think eventually that wore on some people. And it was palpable and noticeable. I mean, if you keep doing that and you get so ingrained in, hey, let's have a press conference just to announce we made another $50 million or something. Well, that's great. Good for you. You're doing a good job. But for the fan, what about me? What does it mean for me? I mean, and Vince has come in, and one of the first things he's done, the press conferences were about replacing seats and changing ticket plans and things like that. That is a different mindset, and I think it's a welcoming mindset. That's just my one man's opinion. You're welcome to disagree, but that's because – but understand, he's a businessman. The guy ran Fruit of the Loom. I mean, he's a businessman. He understands it's big business. It's a lot of money on the line. But how you go about – the ultimately, you must run your business with sound business principles. Nobody's disputing that. But how you go about implementing those principles can be different. And it's very different how they're implementing them now. And I just think it's a lot more user-friendly. And so, the idea about the $10 tickets the other day was a stroke of genius. That was, I hope they, you know, you have to be sensitive to that, because if you're a guy that's forked over, or a woman who's forked over a lot of dough for a ticket, and then you say, well, meanwhile, I'm paying for this, and you're giving them to these people. But the upper-level tickets are not the high-priced ones. And if you're a fan, I think you want the place packed, and you want to be sitting in an event. That was an event the other night. That was very cool. I think Vince has done a good job of setting the tone with that. And again, just in fairness, you know, the people like, oh, my God, when the change of regime comes, this thing is going to go just down the cesspool. I haven't seen it. I mean, women's basketball just keeps on rolling along. Women's soccer had an outstanding year. Men's soccer surprised some people. They were good, and certainly basketball is number one in the country. Football had an incredible, incredible turnaround season. You know, that some coaches left, but some coaches leave. Some coaches, I don't know. I have privy to some information, so don't start reading into it. But I'm guessing that there were some coaches that maybe were not as welcome as they were before. That happens when the leadership changes. But Vince is creating a tremendous culture there, and I love the culture that the coaches are, the way they run their programs is consistent with that culture. I think the other coaches ran their programs consistent with that other culture. It was very much a bottom line, in your face, strong armed kind of mindset. That was how it was run. And they were comfortable with that. I don't think that that's how they're going about it right now, and yet they're still getting wonderful results. And it's terrifical. It's terrifical.
You just came up with a word.
Yeah. I wonder if people have wax in their ears. Did you really, sir? Are you dumb, or just I'm not sure. My guess is you just are trying to be funny, so I don't want to make too much of it. First, Bob flaunts about how many short years it would take him to make however many million, which is true, but 600 years to make the $90 million contract that Rummage referred to. And now he humble brags, says he's in Patino's financial circle. No, did you not hear me? That's what I said. I'm not in his circle. I wasn't in his circle. That was the whole point. Did you not hear? That was the entire point. It's like coming out and saying, I want to make a statement today.
There was a winky face There was a winky face at the end of that, so I think that was tongue-in-cheek.
Okay, well, but that's okay. It gives me content. That's all we care about in radio.
That's a good point.
It's like coming on and saying, I want to make a statement that we are not putting a statue in front of the studio. We will never do that. There's no statue going. And the first text comes and says, why are you bragging about the statue you put in front of the studio? Okay, so I got you. Hopefully.
Can we put
I saw the wink. I get it, sir. That's why I'm not making
Can we put one of magic?
The one before it was actually funny. The small world ride you were talking about, the small world people can hear you, and then they also can, instead of, if you send them something snarky, then one of there should be one like in every group. You can tell which one he is, the one puppet. He's like a little, he looks a little
edgier. The
trolling
puppet.
Yeah, he's the troll puppet. He turns and looks and he just.
Well, that'd be kind of cool. You can learn what a middle finger is in different cultures.
What's that, mommy? Well, that's a good point. Because there's
the
different
peace symbol. If you turn it around in Great Britain,
yes.
turn it around so that, you know, your hand, your palm is facing you, and then go move it in an upwards motion. That's
like two up your.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, you're right. That would be good. That's actually a pretty good ride. I get it, sir. I'm just teasing you. But that's a good ride, Nick. I like that. The it's a small. This is terrible. As somebody who loves Disney as much as I do. It's a small effed up world is what this ride is called. And you go in and there's just puppets that troll you from every country. And they just show you. And then you can tell the children, oh, look, in Switzerland, you know what that means, honey? Oh, I know what that means, mommy. That's the same as this. No, we don't do it. No, I'm just asking this gesture, right? You got it, little Tommy. Very good. Mommy, it's a small effed up world. That's pretty good. I kind of like that.
Why are all those toothless puppets in America doing L's down?
Oh, boom, boom. Hey, how you doing?
All right. Valvano.
Bang, bang, bang. Bang, boom.
Let's see. I don't know who this is. I know who you are, Ron. Nice to hear from you. I texted this question before, never got an answer. At the end of the scorer's table, usually two seats away from the opponent's bench or so, there's an older man who's been there for as long as I can remember. Who is he? And I don't know who's sitting at our table, I don't know the answer. I'd have to get a picture and see. So I don't know.
Chris doesn't talk shop with Scott, but he does with Jeff. He mentioned, actually, that's not entirely true. The inbounds play he got from Jeff, he didn't get directly from Jeff. Dino, God bless Dino, who's a Paisan through and through, who talks to everybody. He was talking hoop with Jeff Walls, Dino Gaudio, the assistant. And Jeff shared with him that out-of-bounds play. And Dino brought it to Chris, and they ran it a few games ago where he got fouled. So he got that from. I do love that. I'll tell you what, I learned that the hard way, though. And if you've never coached, and this is not one of those, oh, yeah, well, I've coached, so I know. But in a way, it is. I got to tell you the truth. Because if you've not coached in college, you will not necessarily know this. And I've said this many times. They want to win as badly as you do, but they want to win for personal reasons. They want to win because it's their jobs. You want them to win because you root for that team, that brand. So when I got to school, when I got to college, I thought it was the same thing. I thought it was like fans. I guess I'm naive. And I found out that that is very often not true. The coaches are in competition with each other a lot of places. They are worried that if you have too much success, it'll diminish what they're doing. And then, it's amazing how many egos there are, and people will not get close because they look at what the other guy does as a competitor. And that blew my mind. I'm not trying to make myself, what a wonderful guy. I'm just telling you the truth. If you listen to the show, I think you know that about me. Yay. I would go to every, we made it mandatory, in fact, for our teams. If any of my ex-players are listening, we would go to one event for all of the other events that had spectators. No disrespect. We generally didn't go to, you know, golf matches. There are not very many spectators there, but we would make it a point to, as a team, we'd go to a volleyball match, go to a soccer game, go to a women's soccer game. And I thought that was great. And that's because when I went to a school, we did that. The first practice we had in soccer after we won the conference championship, the basketball team left their practice early and lined the entrance back to the locker room. We all shared the same locker areas for us to come back in from practice, and gave us an ovation as we came in. That was the athletic director, who's one of the most decent men. I played basketball, too, so I played for him in basketball. And I've never forgotten that. And I thought, that's the way it's supposed to be. Yay. Yay you and yay me. And I don't know. But it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. So when I hear that these coaches are hanging out with each other, I love that. I really do. Because that's what I thought it would be. And inevitably, I had one coach or so at each school that was that way. But it's amazing. It's not as easy as you think it is. There's a lot of guys. Boy, there's a history there. And it's really weird. There was a guy, my first head coaching job was the track coach. But, you know, I found out like 20 years before, not that many, maybe 15 years before, he'd been the assistant basketball coach. And they had never won more than 15 games, literally, in the school's history. It was that was their winningest season ever. And I could tell when we got close, we won 16 my second year. So we broke that record. A modest record, but nonetheless, we broke it. And I could tell as we were getting closer, he was not that pleased. He would come by my office, and it was just an uncomfortable conversation. It was not like, yeah, go get him, had a baby. It was, so what do you think about that? Do you really think you can win that game next week? I was like, all right, Ken, thanks. Good luck to you. Go look after your javelin throws, all right? Leave me alone. Interesting. These are my friends that are calling me, and it's very sad they don't know we're on the air at this time.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Jabronis.
Seriously.
My mom does it all the time.
Yeah. I got locked out of the house today.
Oh, do you tell.
Yeah.
Wait, I shouldn't say that. Some people will break into our house.
No, I got, but then I was able to get the key from the neighbors and get back in, but if the neighbors weren't home, you'd been hosting today, pal. It was your great opportunity to be the host of the show program.
Not sure what we would have talked about. Scott Satterfield probably definitely touched on the whole
Scott Satterfield coming on our air, but not on my show.
3:45.
Patty Ice booking for everybody but us, and then comes in.
That is his show. He's booking for his show.
But he knows coming. Why do you have to come into our show and announce it?
Because why?
Because you allow them. Because you are an enabler.
Because I put it. I am not an enabler. Because I put it in my sports center. That's what you're supposed to do.
That's different. He'd marched in and just announced it. When
he just
I asked
told
what your
me.
Business was. No, he marched in.
It was a time. Okay,
I'm marching into his show. What do you think Ennis would do if I marched in and announced I had guests coming the next day?
Probably very drolly say, "Neat, Bob.
Get the hell out." Which is what I said.
It's fair.
Yeah. Guy said, "Bob, I'm in Paducah, and I heard Kenny. Thank you."
Cool.
Bob, are you going to come watch Rummage wrestle this month?
Yeah, I want to go see.
Where does he wrestle?
He wrestles at OVW. He's the radio heavyweight champion.
Well, it doesn't wrestle at them. I mean, there's got to be a physical place. Where is the physical location?
Oh, it's the Danny Davis Arena. But I think that one, that's a special one that's going to be going on at the Old Forester place. I'm drawing a blank. Like the concert hall.
You've helped
at
me,
Old
not
Forester.
At all. I don't know where that
so
is.
So it's downtown.
Downtown?
Yeah, I think because there's a pay-per-view.
I would like to. This is a much better show. Come up with another wrestling thing where we just go to actual places of business and just grapple there, and you could get some publicity for it as long as you're willing to have us destroy some of your stuff. Like imagine going next door and wrestling at the Comfy Cow. How awesome would that be? And the spectators can stay if they sign a waiver. Or they can get out, but the bell rings and they are just throwing people over the counter, knocking cones around, waffle cones flying. I mean, you're talking about that is quality entertainment there. Are you kidding me? What
cone
is what?
A cone on a stick match or something?
Next week, make sure you come see us at Joe's Barbershop. I mean, a guy's jumping off chairs. You put a guy, I mean, you know, all that stuff is, I know, you know, you get mad when I tell you it's scripted, but I come up with a move like you put the guy in the chair and you just spin it around so hard that he gets up and he's all dizzy and
that'd
then
be
you
cool.
shove him
you
out
just
the
spin
plate
it around
press
and
window.
You're slapping him.
Yeah, as he's going around, like the Three Stooges. Ow. See? I'm telling you. This is entertainment. This is quality program.
Phone's ringing. Can I answer the phone?
Nope.
Why? Why can't I answer it?
Yes. Did it. Well, because for starters, it was New York Mike. So you know he'll call back. Because it's Thursday night and he wants to get his pick in. And this is what he calls.
I
guarantee you that was New York Mike. Yep.
Joke's on you. It wasn't.
No, it was. It's on one of his platforms. The Old Forester Music Hall is where they put the ice skating rink this year.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be cool. I need to go to that.
They have an outdoor, it's outdoors?
Yeah. This year, I think.
The music hall is an outdoor venue?
No.
So what is he talking about then? How could the Old Forester Music Hall be where they put the skating rink if it's an outdoor rink?
Isn't the Old Forester thing part of, like, the old Phoenix Hill area? So it's a big area. I think, like, they're turning into a big old.
So this, every year they build one outdoor rink, right?
Well, they used to do it on 4th Street.
Yeah, and now they put it here. Does Southern Indiana had one too? Do they still have one also?
One in Jeff, I don't know.
Come on, man!
I know I should know this because I should know all things rinks because we're trying to get another.
This
one
is what I was going to tell you yesterday, and I was cleared to be allowed to tell you.
Andrea Adelson it too, by the way.
The Malibu Jacks.
Yeah, that's what we were talking
is moving
about.
To the old Walmart location on Hurstburn.
Neat.
That they closed their old location December 1st. And
the one was over by the movie theaters. Yeah. Actually, over by our old studios.
Yes, and now they're moving over to that. And this is supposed to be much bigger. They're going to have bowling alleys. They said a roller coaster. They must be a simulator, right? The roof isn't high enough in a Walmart for a roller coaster, unless you're talking.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.